from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And our text for this fifth Sunday of Easter is John 15, 1-8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's uncertain whether Jesus spoke these words while still in the upper room or on his way to Gethsemane. What is certain is this: Jesus has eaten his last supper and the disciples have received their first communion. These words of our text, together with the next two plus chapters of John, spoken before Jesus' death, are to help the disciples understand about their life after his death and resurrection. That means this is about our lives right now, too. And so let me ask you, what do you think of when you hear these words of Jesus? I don't know about you, but what strikes me are these words about fruit business. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. To tell you, that sounds pretty intimidating, pretty demanding. We might use these words to examine ourselves. Look at your own life. How fruitful has it been? How fruitful is it now? What have you achieved? Perhaps you think you've accomplished some things. Good. But now, evaluate them. Are they merely temporal, earthly, or eternal? Do they reflect the fruits of the Spirit which St. Paul tells us about? You know, love, joy, patience, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, whatever it is that we have accomplished, to what purpose have we done it? Have we done it in a way that glorifies the Father? Have we done things the way God would have them done? Will our achievements stand up to the examination of God? He is the one who will judge all people. If we're honest with ourselves and others, we may have to attribute many of the achievements for which we would like to take credit to others, to those others who have influenced our lives, like our parents, friends, teachers, and the like. God himself reminds us through his word, what do you have that you did not receive? He also says, for everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. Going beyond ourselves, perhaps we might think about these words of Christ to analyze our church. How fruitful have we been as a church? What have we done for our Savior? What fruit have we borne? And for what purpose? For whose glory has it been done? For our Heavenly Father or for ourselves? All these things that might run through your head when you hear these words of Jesus. And if they do as they have done for me, you would be wrong. This passage of Holy Writ does not call for self-analysis in this fashion. No, indeed. Though you may or may not be surprised to hear this, these 8 verses of John 15 have but one command in them, and it has nothing to do with bearing fruit. The one and only command is to abide in me. It means that we are to remain, to dwell, to be in close and settled union with Christ. Now, there are many statements about fruit in this text, but there is only one command. There's only one command, but many promises. For example, take the statement, "My Father is the vine dresser." Who is the one doing the work to produce the fruit? Not us. We are not the gardeners here in this text. No, the one doing the work is our Heavenly Father. In this passage, we're not encouraged to concentrate on the fruit in our lives. There is something else of much more importance, and that is our connection with this vine, who is Christ. Even the farmer does not work on the fruit when he wants a harvest. No, he concentrates on other things. One of Aesop's fables has a farmer on his deathbed telling his sons that he had a treasure buried in his vineyard. Sure enough, after his death, sons go up and down the vineyard looking for this buried treasure. They found nothing. But lo and behold, the vines bore the best fruit that they ever had in years because of this extra cultivation. And of course, we all know that's precisely the treasure which the Father was referring. Instead of concentrating on the fruit, we are called by this text to follow Jesus' words and to look to other things. And of course, the most important thing that Christ mentioned is that we have a firm connection to the vine, which is Christ. Christ says he is the true vine. Means he alone is the real, the genuine thing. Only the true vine will give the branches what they need to bear the fruit. Only Christ can give us what we truly need for bearing a fruit. Speaking of need, people seem to have a need to get outside of themselves. For instance, almost every kind of addiction in this world, drugs or alcohol or you name it, is related to a desire for ecstasy. Now, the word ecstasy literally means to stand outside of oneself. And it's true. We do need to get outside of ourselves. It is how we were created. We are more than mere physical beings. We need to get outside of ourselves to rise above physical, material things around us. But life, true life, full life, cannot be anything physical, drugs, alcohol, or anything else. True ecstasy, true life that lifts us out of this life comes only through our attachment to Christ, the true vine. Only Christ is this true life-giving vine. Whatever stays in contact with Christ lives. But the question then becomes, how do we remain in the vine? How do we abide in Christ? Jesus does not let us try to figure that one out on our own either. No, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Translated literally, it says this, if you dwell in me, namely, my words dwell in you. That is how we do it, dear friends. That is how we remain in Christ and he remains in us, through his word remaining in us. Everything ties together in this word of God, in this gospel, this good news. Christ's word, which we hear in the church, which we read at home, which we put into our hearts by memorizing and we then meditate on them, as the psalmist says, those are the operative means. And when we talk of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us, how can we fail to see and think of the sacrament of the altar, where Christ's body and blood truly become one with us and abide in us in a way like no other means of grace? Indeed, these very words of Christ in our text are spoken the very same night in which he instituted that supper. Now, another part of this image of our Lord gives us, and it's a vital part, and even though we may not like it, it's that pruning or cleaning that is done to the branches of the vine. Notice that there are two, that every single branch is cut, and he only mentions two kinds of branches. Both of them are cut, fruitless and fruit-bearing. Of course, now we expect that the fruitless branches are going to be taken away and burned, and that's exactly what happens. But these are the hypocrites, those who appear to be connected but really are not, and their lack of fruit proves it. Perhaps they are branches that once were attached to Christ, the true vine, but now have lost their attachment. They no longer remain in Christ, this true vine. These unfruitful branches, they're cut off and taken away. That doesn't surprise us. Next one probably does. Even the fruitful branches are cut, cleansed, and pruned. Even Christians who are abiding in Christ's face must face this cutting. What is this cutting, this cleansing, this pruning, and why is it done even to Christians? Well, to make sense of this, we need to first ask, what is it that God desires? What is it that God the Father wants? He wants us to glorify him through the bearing of fruit. This fruit is not something that's achieved through some moral purity of our own. It's not something that we work on our own. Our God, no, it's God is the worker here. Remember that. And the fruit that is born in us is a gift. It's not something we produce. It's something we are made, not something we acquire. And the way we get that, through the connection to the vine. That's why baptism is such a vital part of this abiding and fruit-bearing equation. For it is in these precious waters, joined with God's word, that we are connected to this true vine. But God's goal is not just to be connected to the vine. Neither is it just fruit. It's more fruit. It's much fruit. To accomplish that goal, the branches need to be cleansed. Agricultural language, pruned. Yes, there is a cutting involved. You know and I know that if you want good plants, good flowers, good roses, you've got to tend them. You've got to cut them. You can't just leave them alone. Part of that tending is to cut off the extra growth. Well, in Christian terms, we often refer to it as bearing our crosses. We as Christians in this world are far from perfect. Certainly we have our salvation, that's ours. And we have the new nature, the new man at work in us, that's a gift from God. But we also have our old man, and he's still hanging around. It's that old man that needs to be cut, needs to be cleansed, needs to be pruned. And the trouble is, that old man is just not out on the surface. He's deep, deep down in our hearts. But to make us more fruitful, that old nature needs to be cut on, needs to be cut out constantly. And the tools that God uses are his word. That word that comes to us and cuts deep into our hearts, to our very nature. God uses prayer when we pour out our hearts and desires before him. And God uses our afflictions, our sufferings, our pains, our loneliness, our hurts, to make us rely more completely on him. Through these things, God accomplishes his desire for us, that we might become more completely and securely connected to the vine, who is Christ. And what happens when we try to do it without Christ? What does Christ say in our text? Without me, you can do nothing. What? Nothing? What about our dazzling achievements as humanity? What about our cures for cancer? What about the mapping of the genome system? What about sending up into the atmosphere powerful satellites and telescopes? All that's nothing? But Christ's not speaking of these physical things here this morning and achievements. No, what Christ speaks of here are the fruits of the gospel, the eternal things. Yes, man can do many seemingly wonderful and mighty things, but without an eternal perspective, all of these things ultimately will come to nothing. For what does Christ say? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. By the way, what does it take to destroy the branches of a vine? Well, how do you get rid of a vine that's growing up a tree? Do you climb up to the top of the tree and start peeling it off from the top down? Not very likely. It's not very effective. You get down there with a pair of snippers and cut it off at the bottom, at the base, at the root. And a few days later, it's all dried up and you can pull the whole thing out with not much trouble. You see, Satan's plan is to cut us off from the true vine, Christ. He would keep us from coming to church. Satan would prevent us from hearing, reading, studying the Word of God. He would steer us away from confession and absolution. He would busy us and avert us from receiving the body and blood of the Eucharist. Do whatever he can to delay us from praying and for encouraging our fellow believers. And if Satan's plan succeeds, it results in our eternal death. But when we remain in Christ, then we have everything. For then, no matter what happens to us, we will most certainly be fruitful. Oh, to be sure, the pruning's still going to take place. And we might not even wonder about the fruit that we are bearing. What is it? Where is it? Our whole lives might seem like to us to be a failure. But when we are connected to Christ, we have everything. We speak in the church of a righteousness that counts before God as righteousness. This text is speaking about a fruit that counts before God. These are the fruits of true discipleship, and quite often they're hidden to us, but God knows them. And it is God who will be judging them. Our God is the God who puts down the mighty from their thrones and the one who judges the accomplishments of kings to be nothing. And yet our God is the one who lifts up the lowly. He is the one who says to the unacclaimed, obscure believer who is quietly abiding in Christ, "You have produced fruit, more fruit, much fruit." And if we, my dear fellow confessors, are branches abiding in this true vine, then Christ is at work in us, accomplishing all things for his good pleasure and all things to the glory of God the Father. And whatever the fruit might be in our lives, whether it is spectacular or hidden, whether it's impressive or obscure, the fruit is Christ doing, and that means it is much fruit. And as we learn in St. Matthew, it is good fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.